Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. It's a beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. I hope it's nice where you are as well. We've got a great interview coming up, as promised. We've got Joshua Kors with us to talk to us about this latest article in The Nation that was brought to my – I regularly read The Nation, but I'm glad somebody brought this one to my attention right away. I am, frankly – just blown away by this article. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Guy.
I know you write about you regularly write for The Nation and other publications as well.
Yes, I've written about military issues for a while.
You know, we've all kept track of this latest Walter Reed Hospital scandal and the VA problems that are happening and so forth, but I'm frankly just appalled reading this latest story of yours here about John Towne. And if you would give our audience an overall view here of what happened, and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. John Towne is a specialist who served in Ramadi, Iraq. He was very near a rocket explosion at the base there, and because of that explosion, he went largely deaf, had a lot of memory and anger issues. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with a lot of the signs of traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Came home suffering from those issues and was deemed not combat ready. So at that point, they had Army had a chance to discharge him due to his injuries. They did something quite different. They discharged him with a pre-existing psychological condition known as a personality disorder. And the reason that's significant is because by discharging him that way, they never had to pay him disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life.
A pre-existing condition, that sounds like something an insurance company would pull, and here we have the United States government pulling it. Let me ask this question, an elementary question to be sure to start this. If this guy had this pre-existing condition, didn't he go through some sort of a psychological and evaluation before he ever went in the service?
That's right, Guy, and I think that's what highlights the absurdity of these personality disorder cases I've been looking at the last 6 months. Soldiers coming into the Army are screened first when they join the service and a second time before they're deployed to Iraq. In Specialist Towne's case and in every other case I looked at, these soldiers, by the medical papers themselves, were perfectly healthy. It's only when they return from Iraq with severe wounds that this pre-existing condition is discovered.
Soldiers,
that's right.
That's the real story in all this, isn't it?
That certainly is. Towne is not an isolated incident. I interviewed numerous soldiers in his shoes, and over the past 6 years across the armed forces, 22,500 have been discharged with personality disorder.
That's called a Chapter 5-13.
That's correct.
22,000 that somehow escaped the evaluations when they went in the military, escaped the evaluation before finding this out before they went to Iraq, but have been let go, cut loose from the VA since they came home.
That's right. And, you know, when you look at the details, the scandal takes on a whole new flavor because what they're classifying as a personality disorder really does stretch the limits of absurdity. In John's case, of course, they thought deafness was a personality disorder. I also examined the case of Richard Dykstra. He had a bilateral hernia that he suffered in Iraq. They thought his stomach ailments were a personality disorder.
My God. Now, in John Towne's case, a 107-millimeter rocket struck 2 feet above his head, right?
That's right. They had to remove the shrapnel from his neck.
Unbelievable. So he comes back, he goes to the VA, Well, actually, before he goes to the VA, the Army cuts him loose, but they weren't exactly upfront with him.
No. In fact, his doctor, Dr. Mark Wexler at Fort Carson, Colorado, made him explicit promises, he says, about what would happen if he agreed to a personality disorder discharge. He was told that he would get to receive disability benefits, get to keep his signing bonus, and also that he would be able to be treated by the VA in the coming years. None of that was the case.
So he ends up without his disability payments. He ends up without any medical care from the VA and has to give back whatever portion of his signing bonus according to the time served?
That's right, and that's kind of the final blow for all of these wounded soldiers coming back. When they find out that they have to give back their signing bonus, and each of the soldiers I spoke to said they were directly told by their military doctors that they would get to keep the bonus. When they find out on the very final day on base that they have to give it back, that means that these wounded soldiers leave the Army owing the Army several thousand dollars.
Oh, my God. This is... You've reported on many military issues. Is this the ugliest one you've seen?
Well, the examination I did of female soldiers who were being sexually assaulted by other soldiers while the military brass turned a blind eye, that was certainly an ugly examination itself. But I think the span of this really warrants the label of scandal. When you look at what the military is saving by purposely misdiagnosing these soldiers, we're talking about $12.5 billion. That's $8 billion in saved disability pay and $4.5 billion in medical care over these soldiers' lifetimes.
This is a money-saving tactic?
Well, I think there are many reasons why this is happening. I think the motive of these doctors is really a key component of this issue. They do save a tremendous amount of money, and I was also told by inside sources at various military bases that there's pressure on these doctors from military officials outside the hospital to purposely misdiagnose them.
So we have a specialist town back home in Ohio now. No veterans benefits. He's signed out completely. No veteran benefit, no VA care. Whatever medical needs that he has from here on in, whether or not they're militarily related or not, he bears the cost on his own. And he's got this stigma. How's he faring after all this?
Well, as you can imagine, not very well. He's a trooper. I spoke with him just the other day. He just got a minimum wage job at a local factory. But at this point, his wife is really supporting the family and his medical bills by working an assembly line at Filtech, an Ohio oil filtering processing plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a struggling family at this point, and they could really use the disability benefits that he was promised.
Well, of course, and he'll probably have reoccurring medical problems after this is all over.
No doubt.
And even the post-traumatic stress syndrome, is he suffering from that?
He is. He spoke to me about terrible nightmares and rage issues. Plus, there's also, along with traumatic brain injury, comes the memory problems. As he said to me, he'll be driving places and he'll forget where he was going. The reason he had to be discharged from the Army in the first place was because at his desk job at Fort Carson, he began to forget some of the Army's regulations. You can imagine the frustration he felt and not being able to perform his job due to the injury.
Now, you didn't speak to Dr. Wexler, but you did speak to his commander.
No, I actually did speak with Dr. Wexler.
Oh, okay.
I did. And I spoke to his commander. Wexler in person would not address the case. Later, he did send me an email in which he directly denied discussing the benefits issue with John Towne, but he would not address the issue of whether Towne was misdiagnosed, and he also declined to address the issue of other soldiers he had treated who I had spoken with. One case I came upon, for example, Chris Mosier, was suffering from delusions. He came back from Iraq after watching many of his buddies explode in a mortar attack. And after that, he was haunted by visions. He came back to Des Moines after being diagnosed as having a personality disorder by Dr. Wexler. He received 6 days of treatment, came back to Des Moines and posted a note on the door saying that the Iraqis were after him and he had to save the family, then shot himself.
Oh my God. Well, that brings me to what I considered the most idiotic comment that I think I've seen one of the military people make in a long time as part of your story. This statement by Colonel Knorr explaining that there's a simple explanation as to why in so many cases this lifelong condition of personality disorder isn't apparent until after serving in Iraq. You want to finish up on that one?
Yes, he said it.
This statement by him blew me away.
It did catch me by surprise too. He said that it could lay dormant, this condition, and then be triggered by a stressful event. I spoke with Keith Armstrong, a clinical professor at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. Armstrong has been treating veterans for over 20 years at the San Francisco VA. He said that's simply not how personality disorder works.
I think Mr. Armstrong probably has a bit more expertise in the field than Colonel Knorr at Fort Carson.
He does. In fact, he just wrote a book about it called Courage After Fire, dealing with soldiers coming back with precisely these kinds of issues. But there was another aspect of Knorr's justification that really seemed to stretch the limits of the facts of these cases. He said the reason... He admitted that he did not interview, and they don't routinely interview, any of the family or friends of these soldiers. So how they knew that this condition existed before the soldier joined the military is just impossible to say. He admitted that they don't interview them, but he said talking to the families and other soldiers would be of limited value because they don't have the keen psychological insight to recognize personality disorder.
And people that were in, so that we make this clear that Mr. Towne isn't some sort of a wacko or wasn't some kind of a wacko, you talked to people that were in his unit, right?
Oh, absolutely. His fellow soldiers described him as one of the best in the unit. He had won a dozen medals for his performance prior to the rocket attack. And I think there's another detail there that really highlights the absurdity of this diagnosis. He was given the Purple Heart for his injuries due to that rocket attack, but yet the Army would not recognize when it came time to give him benefits that he was injured.
Oh, my God. Is there any remedy for this man?
Well, a lot of the...
And not only this man, but how many others did you say?
22,500 over the past 6 years across the entire armed forces. In just the Army alone, it's 5,600. And it keeps going up every year. 5,600 in the Army, that's... every year you see it go up by 20, 30, 40, as one of the insiders who processes papers at one of these military installations said to me, at first it seemed normal. You got one or two cases. He said, now it's two or three a day. It seems like everybody suddenly has personality disorder.
So this is no accident. This is no anomaly. This is a concentrated effort to drum people out for financial reasons, evidently.
It certainly seems that way, and I don't think it's just financial. The military has a lot to gain in other aspects of these misdiagnoses. For one, their hospitals are simply overrun. Every time you can usher a soldier out with personality disorder, you free a bed at the hospital for the three or four soldiers who are waiting for treatment.
This is a disgrace. This is just a national disgrace, and it's coming on the heels. Your story coming on the heels of this Walter Reed thing just makes it all the worse. That here we have an administration that support the troops, and my God, they come home and they get this kind of support. As a taxpayer, as a human being, I'm very distressed over this.
Well, as one of the soldiers said to me, it's much easier to support the troops when they're dead. Certainly much cheaper.
Oh, my God. Joshua, I want to thank you. Before we leave, once again, I started in and I interrupted you. Do any of these people have any remedy toward the military on this? Is there anything they can do?
Well, there are certain boards they can go to appeal these cases. As one of the lawyers at one of these forts told me, who handles these specific cases, he said once the commander pushes for a personality disorder diagnosis and once it gets stamped by the doctor at the fort, erasing that label is extremely difficult. A lot of it's done by backdoor dealing with representatives and members of Congress, but it's for most of these soldiers, it's a permanent label, and they just can't, as one of them said to me, it's a scarlet letter you just can't scrub off.
Oh my. Well, Joshua, I really want to thank you for being on the program today and laying this mess bare for us. It's something every American needs to know about. It's an abuse, a terrible abuse of our men and women coming home. And I want to thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Guy.
Thanks. Doesn't that just make your day? When I first spoke to him about this story, I thought we were talking about one or two people. And, you know, there are people that say, well, you know, it's the military. It's the military. But they've got pressures on them. And they've got pressures on them that they shouldn't have right now. Knowing that we're in a war, sending ungodly amounts of wounded both physically and psychologically, sending them home with no care available, not enough staff, not enough money. This is a national disgrace. And again, I thought we were talking about one or two or five or half a dozen people. 5,600 people like this in the Army alone. And this isn't some wacko we're talking about. This is some guy, like you already heard, he had 12 medals. He got the Purple Heart. He had a damn rocket go off 2 feet above his head. He had the shrapnel in his neck. He comes home and he has this problem. And they talk him into signing out, telling him he'll get all his benefits and everything. Here, just sign right here. And then he doesn't get them. There needs to be a full-scale investigation of this. Not just Mr. Towns' case, but all of them. This is every bit as bad as the Walter Reed incident. Maybe worse. Out and out lying to these people, coercing them. Here, sign here, and don't worry, you'll get all your benefits. You know, don't, and then find out later that they don't. What would you feel like if you gave your service to this country and you got repaid like that? This is the thanks these people get for what they've done? This is the thanks they get, the appreciation they get from the United States of America? Support the troops? Jesus, I should think the rest of the soldiers would be up in arms over this. And they probably will be when they find out. You want to talk about something, you know, they're always talking about, well, this will hurt the morale of our troops. What about if they find this out? What could hurt your morale more than this? Got morale, got shrapnel pulled out of your neck and you come home and you need treatment. And you get this? Oh, you got a pre-existing condition. Who the hell are we dealing with here? State Farm Insurance or who? Those are the actions of these thieving insurance companies. Oh, it's a pre-existing condition. We can't pay you for that. It's in the fine print. Is it in the fine print when you sign into the military? Actually have this colonel at Fort Carson say, oh, well, you know, it's a dormant condition. It might be set off by some traumatic situation. Hell, I should think it was a traumatic situation that happened. But lying dormant, who could determine that? Who should determine that? Some bozo colonel at Fort Carson is going to determine this guy's, hell, his whole future. His financial future. The future of his health care. The future of how this guy lives his life. I read the story and I read it again. By the way, the story is at thenation.com. Be sure and look it up. Joshua Norse, K-O-R-S. It's a terrific story. It's well written. It's in depth. It's got the facts. But by God, don't anybody tell me, or anybody else for that matter, that I support the troops when you got this kind of crap going on. It's a national disgrace. How many national disgraces do we have over this Bush war before we wake up and say, hey, enough is enough? We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us here in the Guy James Show today. Glad to have all of you along with us. My God, my temper, my blood pressure's up. And I hear stories like that. I told you we'd have a couple of great guests today, and they have been, most certainly. You hear these stories, and, you know, if someone just told you this, and you meet some guy in the street and he tells you this, you think, boy, he sure stretched that story. That can't be true. Certainly our government wouldn't do that to any of our soldiers, especially not 22,000 of them. No, they wouldn't do that. No. Let me ask you a question. I could be way off base on this. I may not know what I'm talking about. Okay? But should the president find this out? And when he found out about the VA problem at Walter Reed and other VA problems around the country, and they talk about the president's bully pulpit, would this not be a great time to use the bully pulpit of the presidency? You find out about this story right here about John Towne spent the last few years fighting for a battle, fighting Bush's battle, and he comes home and gets treated like this along with 22,000 of his friends. And you're the president of the United States and you find this out, can you not step in behind that bully pulpit and tell the people of the United States, most especially tell these 22,000 soldiers, that I will make sure this is put right. I am the President of the United States. I don't know specifically what kind of authority I have to meddle in the affairs of the Army, but I am the Commander-in-Chief. Ultimately, I am responsible for this, and by God, I will make sure it's put right. Can any president worth his salt do that? Am I totally off base here? Money? Who the hell cares about money when we have a situation like this in front of us? We've got money for a lot of things. Well, in fact, we don't have enough money to run the government due to some tax cuts. And factor that into it. So that some son of a bitch sitting over on his 150-foot yacht in Fort Lauderdale can have a tax cut so they can do this to our soldiers? I don't think so. Damn it, this makes me mad. Am I wrong? Can the president not get involved in this? Shouldn't he get involved in this? Jesus. Makes me ashamed. It just makes me ashamed. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello.
Hello, Guy.
Yes.
Hello, Guy.
Yes.
Hey, this is Chuck Roberts from Virginia Beach. How you doing?
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, I just wanted to say in regard to that speaker that you had on there a few minutes ago, the point I wanted to make is that these servicemen that are getting out, what I would recommend that they do is if they can see this coming down the road, that they're going to be deprived of their benefits or educational benefits, medical benefits, maybe given less than an honorable discharge, I would recommend that they contact their senators and write them a letter, tell them about their service, and just do sort of a good job of articulating what they've done, where they've been, all that stuff like that. I think I've had a family member that's went through some of that, and we were successful at stopping that from happening once the letter hit Congress. It's usually too shameful for the services to go through and deprive them of their benefits, but you have to do that before you get out.
I hope that provides some relief for some of these people. I sure do. And I think you're right. That is a good thing to do.
You just got to do it. You know, you got to do it before you get out, because once you get out, the appeal process is pretty much loaded against the servicemen, you know. But if you can do it early and get that letter, there's still a lot of public support for the service members that are doing the job over there in Iraq. When one of those letters hit Congress and they start telling what they've done, how many tours they've been in Iraq and that sort of thing, and that their particular service is about to let them out with reduced benefits, usually they, at least in our case, they turned around on a dime and corrected that situation.
Well, and it's probably too late to do anything for those who've already gotten out. It's a shameful situation. Hey, thanks. That's a good thing for everybody to know, and they should do. And I think you're right. I've read several cases of where the congressman or senator gets involved, and that carries a heavy weight on that. It really does.